and welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters. Day 359. How are we all doing? I've kept this as a little surprise to myself to see who was first in the chat. Could well be Kim, the way it's been going. Let's have a look.
No.
Oh, it's Jonathan. Well done, Jonathan. And then we have Kim. Yay! Hello, Kim.
And Tony.
Kim's doing well. Lots of blowback from the Meghan and Harry interview. Oh, yes. That's been going on all day here. But you know the best thing to come out of it? You won't know because this happened while you were in there.
No.
Piers Morgan's walked. Yes! Results.
Oh, walked from where?
Good Morning Britain or whatever the heck it's called. Yeah. I don't know. I never see it. One, it's on TV. And two, it's on... It's a silly time.
So, yeah, three, you're in bed.
Yeah, I'm in bed. But Piers Morgan is a nasty piece of work.
He is.
He is a very nasty piece of work. Anyway, after 41,000 complaints about something he said, he's decided he's leaving the show. Imagine he's done that before, you know, and then come back. But he did have a stand-up scrap on set with the weather lady. Anyway, he's gone. So that was the good news out of all of that. There has been a little missive from the palace, all 61 words of it. We'll always love them as a member of the family. Don't let the door hit your backside on the way out. That was a quick summary of it for you. And what else have we got? Hello, Tony.
Shall I tell them my story?
Well, Jonathan's telling us that he thought it was one-sided. That's because the palace never say anything. But yes, it was their side of it. But we've heard it all before with Diana. So it's not the first time, is it? Hopefully it'll be the last. But we'll have to wait and see over that. She was licking her foot. So I thought rather than try and dissuade her from licking her foot, I'd let her lick my foot.
Oh.
I now have one very, very clean foot. She nodded off before she got to the second one.
Lola.
Oh, she's just so adorable.
She is. She had a very busy day.
Oh, now you see, Jonathan's getting double negatives here. Whilst I don't disbelieve, but that doesn't mean that he believes, doesn't disbelieve what Meghan said. Her claims of racism and mental health should be taken very seriously. You do question the motivation for doing an interview when they want to avoid the press. Well, they just want some privacy. I really do think there's a difference between putting yourself out for an interview, not that they were supposed to be able to control it, you know, but there is a difference between saying, OK, we'll do an interview, or OK, we'll go out and we'll open something or we'll talk to somebody, and then flying drones over your house taking pictures of your children. But that's the British press. They'd have no niceties with them, do they? Hello, Paul. Kim says she hopes Piers Morgan doesn't go back over there. Was he over there? How did we let him back in the country then? Oh, he's nasty. I'm not saying he's always wrong. And, you know, the most terrifying thing I think that happened last year was that Piers Morgan came out with a statement and I didn't disagree with it. So obviously I had to take some pills and lie down for a while. But he's just so confrontational. And it's like he didn't get the memo. It's 2021 and we don't do that anymore. He's just out of his time. But we will see. Hello, Anthony. Oh, Tony's driving. We'll be home in 10. Kim said she felt it really made it seem that the UK press is racist. I don't know how much racism had to do with it, because I've seen it before. And this lady wasn't black in any way, shape or form. But when Diana married Charles, before Fergie married Andrew, there was 5 years before Fergie married Andrew, and the press did have a dabble with Diana over one thing and another, particularly what she ate, what size she was. And then Fergie came along and everybody loved Fergie. She was vivacious, outgoing, good sense of humour. You know, everybody loved Fergie. And then as soon as they were married, it started. And it wasn't something that she'd particularly done. It was just comparisons between her and Diana constantly. I think the British press have this thing that the narrative is we need a hero and we need a villain. And obviously Kate had been there playing both roles. I did say that she'd got bad press as well. But as soon as Meghan arrived, it's like, oh, Meghan's got cool looks. Is she going to do this? Is she going to do that? And then it was like, okay, right, we've done that for a few months now. Let's get back to the hero and villain routine. And they had to pick one, and it was Kate was going to be the hero, and poor Meghan was going to be the villain. And that was what they did. And I don't know if you've seen this thing on social media, but it's screenshots of the Daily Mail. Now, the Daily Mail, as Jonathan will tell you, if you're ever short of toilet paper, the Daily Mail is where you would head. It's appalling, like the column of shame. But the Daily Mail had these articles. There was an article when Kate was pregnant, how she was gently cradling her baby bump and how beautiful it was. And right next to it was another screenshot of the Daily Mail. And it said, why can't Meghan leave her baby bump alone? Is there something wrong with the woman? Another one was, she was pictured with her hands in her pockets. How could somebody in the royal family have their photograph taken with their hands in the pockets? Next to a shot of the Queen with her hands in her pockets, and it's saying how lovely it was to see her relaxed. I don't think that per se is racist. That's just, we need a hero and we need a villain, and we've decided who's who. This is why. Never believe anything you read in any paper. They're all as bad as one another. So we're not going to get rid of Piers Morgan over there then. Darn it. Darn it. I really thought we might. Let's have a look. Have we gone live yet? Oh, does Jonathan not know that we're live? Can somebody tell Jonathan to refresh? Oh, Jonathan. Right, what we're going to have to do, Mike, as soon as we go in, because we're still on player B, you need to press refresh. I don't know why. I don't. Mike didn't. But sometimes you do.
Refresh.
There you go.
That's like drink.
Oh, poor Jonathan. We're gaslighting him unintentionally, I can assure you, Jonathan. But you know what, Jonathan? I, wait for it. I need a drum roll here. Thank you, Mike. I am totally up to date with the feed. Don't bother with the website, but the feed is up to date. So if you subscribe to the feed, you'll get what you missed as soon as I publish it, Jonathan, which will be later tonight, because I'm up to date with everything but the website. Way, I know, 36 episodes I did on Sunday, but it made Tracy happy, so that was all that mattered. So you'll be able to get what you missed. I was sharing my feelings about Piers Morgan. He's another one. Don't let the door hit your backside on the way out. Oh, Kim predicts Harry will return, but Meghan maybe not. I don't know. I don't know whether they
would
want to.
I've heard people saying that.
I just don't know whether they would want to. I really don't. I think the hurt that he feels. I mean, there was a woman. I don't know who she was. I don't have the name in front of me either, but she does some kind of breakfast show in the States, who was making it very clear that she was saying, well, we all know who it was. We all know who it was that said it. One, it was a bloke. And two, you could read between the lines. Well, that only leaves two, really, doesn't it, if you rule out Prince Philip. And that will be Charles and William. And I think we already know that there was a rift with him and William. Big style.
Girl.
And that William he had already said that William had said things while they were dating. So can you really see Harry going back to that?
How doesn't mummy give you?
Oh, a Kim sanctioned dentist.
You had two biscuits earlier.
Oh, look
didn't
what
you?
We've got. Give me a paw. Good girl.
You had two biscuits when I was training.
She's happy now. You were just fobbing her off, weren't you? She's got her claws in too deep for that to happen. Oh, Jonathan, have you noticed nobody would ever say that the other way around? He's got his claws in too deep for that to happen, because that would have really unfortunate connotations, wouldn't it? Oh, dear, Jonathan. Found it interesting that Meghan got to speak on her own before Harry came on. He never got time on his own to speak without her. That was probably because if he did, maybe the royal family would have cut him off. I don't know. I don't know. Was it her story? Maybe it was just her story. I don't know. But now it's all out and they've said the royal family, whatever, whatever. Royal family will rumble on. It's not particularly those in the royal family I've got a problem with. It's like, why are we not drawing... The thing about the bullying's gone away, I see, that was threatened in the week before. Do you know what I did think about this royal fiasco, Mike?
Mm.
Paddy Harverson, why did he ever go, hey? He used to be the comms man.
He's not there anymore, is he?
Is he not?
I'm sure he's left.
Where's he gone now? He was Prince Charles' top comms bloke. Mind you, there's a thankless task. Where is he now?
In 2013, he left the royal household to enter the private sector and joined Milltown Partners LLP as a managing partner.
Doing what?
Doesn't say.
Brothers say things jokingly to each other. Maybe William did say something without knowing the context. Who can tell? There are things, though, Anthony, that just should not be said. And if this was 10, 20 years ago, fair enough. But things like that now should just not be said. And yes, people do say things as a joke. But, you know, sometimes it's just not funny. And I mean, not just like, you know, you're not in the mood today for a giggle. Can I use an analogy of yours, Mike?
Yeah.
Well, I'd be the same if they'd said it to me. So the fact they'd said it to you.
In 2013, he set up his own business with DJ Collins, formerly head of comms for Google in London, and it provides companies, individuals and families with advice on communications, reputation management and privacy protection.
Oh, yeah. Definitely do with a bit of that, yeah.
There's a job back at the palace for you, Paddy.
Yep.
Right, analogy.
Yeah, that while things are going a certain way, so while Brother A, not naming names, Brother A and Brother B have had the same life experiences and everything's fine and dandy between them. And then Brother B meets a lady of a different race and Brother A makes a funny crack about it. That's funny to Brother A. That's not funny to Brother B. Absolutely not. And sometimes it can be taken so personally, it should just be left alone. So while in lockdown, my hair's grown. I don't have a fringe anymore. I think it's bangs in the States, isn't it? Forget that. I look like Cousin It. So I can now, what was a fringe, I can throw all the way back. My hair needs dealing with, but you know what? It's not a crisis. Now, Mike, on the other hand, my hair was long to start with, so it's just like 6 inches longer. But Mike's hair grew, didn't it?
Yes.
And the comments that were made, you could put down to like, oh, it was a joke. It's not funny if it's you. Particularly in a circumstance when it's something that you can't do anything about. So if Mike had decided, you know, I'll save a bit of money, I won't have my hair cut for a year, then maybe you could say he brought that on himself. But it was a global pandemic and he could not go to the hairdressers. So to make a derogatory comment about it, not funny. Not funny at all. And these comments were coming in the middle of Catania meetings, you know, the brotherhood where it's one for all and all for one. And somebody is pointing out that, oh, you look different because your hair's long. You're still the same person. What is wrong with you? Why would somebody need to make a crack like that? And then we go back to what I said last night, which is it shows such a degree of an emotional immaturity to say, oh, look, different. What is wrong with these people? Did it matter? No. As long as a child's healthy, does it matter? So I think if you've got that kind of relationship where you are always jostling each other, fine. But you need to be close enough to know when you're about to say something that is, oh, I wouldn't even like to say taken the wrong way. Just, it's wholly inappropriate. And clearly, no, that disappeared. No, not good. Kim can go on not caring about them again. Do you know, when you say family's a draw and the kids will make a difference. I know people who've like had a falling out with their parents and all the in-laws, one or the other, and that neither want a bar of each other. And then a child is born. And then either the grandparents want back in, you know, mainly the grandparents want back in because, oh, look, grandchild. I'd be thinking, if I was the parent of that child, I'd be thinking, you must be kidding me. Because, again, while everything is fine and that child is behaving itself according to the grandparents' rules, everything will be fine. But the second that that child chooses a different way of life, it could all kick off again. I think that's really dangerous. Oh, really, really dangerous. So, Jonathan says, I must admit, if my sister were going out with a man of colour, I would not make the same joke about race as somebody allegedly did about Meghan's baby. It's distasteful, even if it is family. Exactly, Jonathan. And you know, you could extend that if my sister were going out with a man of colour, or indeed a lady of colour, because that doesn't matter either. Nothing matters. Love's love. But I don't think the royal family get that. I think their moral spectrum is somewhat outdated, let's put it like that. But I don't know how Prince Andrew's getting away with it. Why have they not said, we'll have an investigation, even if it was in private? But no, no, they're trying to avoid that. Kim, I thought it was only me. Kim watched Meghan for years, one of her favourite shows, and she had no idea she was a person of colour. Well, when they said, when it was announced, you know, he's going out with this actress, I'd never heard of her because I'd never seen Suits. And then up popped this picture and I thought, oh, yeah, good luck to them, long as they're happy. And then it said that she was black. And I thought, is there something wrong with the telly? I thought, she doesn't look black at all. And I'm looking, I'm thinking, is she? Really? And what difference does it make anyway? I didn't know either. I really didn't. No problem, Tony. Tony's home. Trying to say hi. Couldn't reply to each as you were driving. What did you miss about Piers Morgan? Oh, he's gone. Excellent news. He said something, I believe it was yesterday morning, which was before the thing was even aired. And the saga is that he knew Meghan Markle. He'd already met the girl a couple of times, a few times. Probably if he was in the States, in the States. There you go. Night, Jonathan.
Do you want to go out?
She's fretful. I think she might. I think she might. Anyway, whatever it was that he said, which was basically they were whining, and then he took it from there, 41,000 people complained. She's going it some, isn't it? This morning, he was still venting because obviously it was shown last night in the UK. More people complained. He had a stand-up scrap with the weather lady who said he should leave them alone or, you know, not be quite so vitriolic about it all. And he walked off set. Now, he's done that before. I mean, he's a bit of a hothead. He will do that and then come back on. Anyway, I don't think he did come back on this morning, or if he did, it was very, very, very much later, which means he's left his co-host, you know, to present the rest of the show. But this afternoon, they put out a statement and said he left. So he's left Good Morning Britain or whatever it's called, which is all good news. All good news. Jonathan said he heard from British Airways he's booked a ticket to the States to bother them for a while. I don't think you'll let him in, will you? Oh, I suppose they need a loose cannon. Now Trump's lying low. Well, you never know, do you? Because aren't they buddies? Aren't they buddies? I thought they were. I thought he'd got an exclusive interview with him. But I don't really take much notice, I must be honest. I don't. I can't be doing with things that are... I see him as like an agitator, where he just wants to cause bother. And if you say black, he'll say... Well, that's a bad example, actually. But if you say black, he'll say white. You say white, he'll say black. Just to argue. Which I don't understand. I really don't. It's so out of touch with today. I really don't know. I didn't see Suits when it was on. But I did see a couple of series afterwards, after she'd married him, I think. But... I think it was on Prime Video, and they've taken it off Prime Video now, so I didn't get to see the whole lot. But I'm sure I will at some point. I thought it was a good series. But when they said she was black, I thought there's something wrong with my TV. She's clearly very pale, but, you know, she identifies that way. And, you know, her mum clearly is. Wasn't helped, I didn't think, today by the fact her father had another dabble. That man can't keep himself off the TV, can he? And then he wonders why she doesn't want anything to do with him. I remember with my dad. Oh, my dad was a menace. He would always want to know how I thought I'd done with my exams. I'm sure I've mentioned this. And I was the type who was really wound up about them. And mum was like, just leave her be. Leave it be. But he couldn't help himself. And it wasn't, I think it was that he wanted to know. But really, it was like he was nervous for you and he wanted you to come home and say, yeah, aced it. And you can't often say that with an exam. I feel the only time you can be 100% positive, because when you're answering a legal question, it's not just a case of getting the right result in the legal question. You know, would A be prosecuted? Yes or no? It's not like that. It's the evidence that you put forward and the argument you put forward. So it's very subjective. The sole exception of that is if you're doing an accounts in law exam, where if it adds up, the odds are you've got it right. If it doesn't, you could still pass. It depends. So this particular exam, I don't think it was my finals. I think it was the year before. And I come back in, you know, and I don't want to talk about it. So mum's itching to say, how did it go? But thought better of it. And dad was just twitchy. It wasn't until mum disappeared for 2 minutes. And the first words out of his mouth were, how do you think you've done? And I just completely exploded. Because he did it every time. And I just said, I think I've failed. And he said, well, fancy having that attitude. I said, well, fancy keep asking. So by the time mum came back in, we were at each other's throats. And she knew why. So this particular year, mum said, right, I've got it sorted this year. And every year she tried to come up with another plan, right, so it wouldn't kick off and he'd be asking me and then I'd be feeling bad, etc. So she said, right, we won't. And the other thing he did, you know, once you've said, how do you think you did? When's the results out? So she said, right, we won't tell him. So I said, that's fine by me. You know, they'll just turn up one day, the results, that'll be fine. Because he'd know, of course, if you were going down to the university to pick your results up, normal people, that would be like a 2 minute walk. Me, I had to go down to London. So if I was saying, oh, I'm going to London tomorrow, it'd be like, what for? Oh, you know, just shopping for shoes. He'd know and he'd pester the living breath out of you. So mum said, we won't tell him. I said, fine, that's great. So the exams came. He did ask, how do you think you've done? I exploded. It's like Pavlov's dogs. So she said, oh, and then mum's, but that was it. I exploded and that was it. Mum then saw the neighbours. She went out shopping and she was coming back. She was walking past the house. And we knew these neighbours for years and years. And we stopped and the neighbour said, oh, it's so exciting, isn't it? And mum said, what is? And she said, Elaine's results next week. And mum was like, is that the time? And she came across the road and she was as white as a sheet. And I said, what's the matter? So she said, did you tell the neighbours your results were out next week? I said, no, you know, there's only you on the planet knows my results are out next week. And she went, I'll kill him. So I said, what? You know, what's dad done? He came in and she said, you know, did you tell the neighbours Elaine's results were out next week? And he said, well, he tried arguing and hiding it. But in the end, the answer was yes. So she said, how do you know they're out next week? He said, I don't. I just made it up because she wouldn't tell me. The thing was, he'd guessed spot on. I thought, you swine. So then, of course, I'm waiting my results and all of the neighbours are waiting. Oh, families. Can't live with them. Can't shoot them. So they did come out that week, but that's not the point. You know, you want privacy. You don't want your dad going on and on and on. This is what families are like. Now, the one that I said you do know you've passed was that there was an accounts exam and I was not brilliant at the accounts stuff. I was okay till halfway through. And then for weeks we'd done like, and then you add X to Y and that equals Z. And you're like, yeah, I know that, I'm good at maths. And then all of a sudden we got halfway and it was like, oh, we're behind. And they shoved like half the course into like 3 weeks. And I'm like, it's all hazy. I'm really confused. It's hazy. So I stopped going to college and I started doing it on my own. So the one exam I was really, really worried about was this accounts exam. So it came to the accounts exam day, and so was everybody, to be honest, because we'd already all passed either a law degree, which meant all the legal subjects you did have a handle on, or we'd done a degree of some description, like, say, history or geography, and you'd done a conversion course. But the account side of it was the one most people were going to struggle with. And all I'd prepped was accounts, 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 accounts. I remember getting up at like 5 in the morning, which you can imagine, not me. No, not me. Just doing accounts questions. So this was the time that Mike was sat outside reading The Firm by John Grisham and Nice Work by David Lodge. So I goes in, and I think the accounts exam was 2 hours instead of three. So I goes in, and you had two questions to answer, but they were like, make the accounts for this probate or make the office accounts for this company. And you've got all this information. And the difference with the accounts exam, with a normal exam, you start with zero. And they give you a point for everything that you get right. With the accounts exam, you start with 100% and they knock off points when you go wrong. So I thought, if I don't go wrong, I can't fail. It's as simple as that, because you start with 100. So I'm in there. I get the first question done, and I'd done that many. It was like I could have done this in my sleep. I think the first one took me about 20 minutes. Second one took me about 20 minutes. And obviously you've got 2 hours for this. So I'm sat there and I went over it and I checked it and I thought, there's no more I can do. I've passed, because it adds up. It adds up no matter which way I look, it adds up. And I knew that I hadn't made the same mistake, because obviously it's like double entry. I'd not made the same mistake. I even had time to put an alternative down over whether you sold this bike or whether you rented this bike out. So after about an hour 10, I thought, oh, I'm going. There's no point sitting here for another 50 minutes. And I walked outside and Mike was like, you're barely halfway through. And he was as white as a sheet. And I went, no, I'm fine. Didn't tell my dad that one, though. No, it would have spoiled it. I did watch Suits from the beginning. I started watching series one. Actually, the first time I ever heard of the series Suits, it was The Priest. And he said it was his favourite show. And over here it was on Netflix, so I hadn't seen any of it. I didn't realise it was a legal drama. Now, that's the kind of thing I love. So when I saw that it was on, I watched the first two series, I think. I loved it. I just need to wait for it to come back now, and then I can carry on and watch the rest. Did you know it's now considered racist for teachers to ask students to get the correct answer and show their work in math here in the States? No. How does that work? Why? It did used to bug me, I'll grant you, because I would look at something. We had a way of working out percentages, for example, and binary. And, you know, that's the question. Show you're working out, there's the answer. But I, particularly with percentages, just looked at it and I did it a different way in my head. And I would come up with the answer and put the answer down. And then it's like, I'm going to knock marks off because you didn't show your working out, which to me is like, don't be stupid. But apparently that's the thing. But no, I have never not heard that. I don't get that. They want students to work in groups. Should not be here as an individual assignment. Why? You can't just grab someone when you're trying to work something out in a shop. You know, what's the tax on this? Really, really, really weird. I can only assume that's something to do with teamwork.
Hold on to the biscuit.
The last time I remember teamwork being mentioned, I was on this course. So I must have been late 20s. And there was people on the course who were all from different places. So I was obviously in the law, other people were in printing and weird stuff like that. And we're in these groups. And You know, I might have been able to work out the answer to something, but it had to be a group effort. And the ones that I was with were like mathematical morons, but their skill set was probably somewhere else. And I thought, well, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to just write this out and say, guys, this is the answer. This is how you work it out, or what? And some in my team just were like math phobic. They didn't want to know. And it was like, well, you're not working together as a team. What's it matter as long as somebody gets the right answer? I can't fathom that myself. If you are, I saw a program once. It was about survival things. Like challenges, you know, one of these, what do they call them, Mike? Those like Outward Bound courses where you're all supposed to come by R together.
Yeah, Outward Bound courses.
Yeah, but what do they call them? Team building?
Yeah, team building.
Yeah, that kind of rubbish.
And we had one, don't you remember?
Yeah, but at least you weren't wandering around on the floor like sheep. No, this one, I actually watched
You've
it.
You've had enough.
And it was a team. They had to There were challenges along the way, little challenges, shall we put it like that? And one of the challenges was, there was a tube, and this tube must have been about a metre long, quite narrow, and there were keys at the bottom of it. And you had what you had in terms of your kit, so you might have had like a little bit of string and a stick. How did you get the keys out of this glass tube? And there were two teams. So the challenges were identical for each individual team. And it was supposed to be a team building thing. And I'm thinking to myself, I looked at it and I thought, well, isn't it obvious? It was a long glass tube. It had a bottom in it. So the keys didn't fall out the bottom. The keys were attached to a key ring. And the key ring was like a little figure of something carved out of wood. And they had what they had was a little bit of string and a stick and like a couple of bottles of water each. And they stood there looking at this thing, absolutely staring at it, you know. And I thought, well, point one, what's the most important thing here? If it is that to save your life, you need to get the keys out the glass tube, smash it. Problem solved. Then you've got the keys. But if it's that you do it right, then you have to sit and think about doing it right. And these people must have sat there for 4 hours. And I'm thinking it's a glass tube. The keys are attached to a wooden keyboard, a key fob. Pour the water in the tube and the little key fob thing, being wood, will float to the top. And if you want the water back, then take the bottom off it and put the water back in the bottle. 5 hours they were there. You know, and I'm thinking, if that really was a true emergency, somebody was dying on the floor in front of you and you had to get the keys out, just smash it, problem solved. Didn't you have that on a psychometric test once?
Probably.
Right, you're going to have to do a psychometric test. Mike said to me, what's a psychometric test? So we had a look. Yeah, basically an IQ test. So he sits down to do it and he turns over one of the pages and it's upside down. So Mike looks at it and Mike's completely practical. Looks at it, turns it the right way up, answers the questions, turns it back and carries on. They were really impressed that Mike thought of doing that. And I'm like, but isn't that just logic? Mind you, the last time I did an IQ test, well, I didn't realise it went up that high. Then I got told, oh, everybody gets that on the internet, but whatever. I'm far too practical, far too practical. Oh, I don't understand all this, Kim. I really don't. That was from the Black History Museum at Smithsonian. I can't understand it. I don't. I think there's a danger of it going the other way at the moment. But, you know, it's not helped by things where you are tone deaf as to the fact it's 2021 and maybe that, you know, asking about the colour of a baby is not the best idea you ever had. Not even as a joke. There are things that are even beyond that. Hello, Tracy. You are very welcome, Tracy. I am up to date. Last night's has already been produced. Oh, it's an unbelievable feeling. Oh, maybe it's a way of having no single person to point the finger at it for getting it wrong when cooking the books. Tony, I would believe you. You never know. Kim feels that STEM should have nothing to do with race, but we've lost our way with race instead of getting to the bottom of it. Exactly. Instead of what was actually said, I'd like to consider, like, why is a distinction being made before you even get any further? Never mind what was said. Why would there be any distinction? It doesn't make sense. I thought when she came over, and like I say, I didn't know her, that she was just lovely. You know, nothing wrong with her at all. She had a big smile on her face. She looked happy with Harry. The people loved her, but then the press got involved, and that's the press all over. They'll love you 1 minute, not the next. I'll give you another example. There was a football manager called Harry Redknapp, and I would say people knew him in football, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But I think until he went in the jungle on It's a Celebrity, not many people outside football would maybe have known who he was. But while he was on the programme, people absolutely loved him. He said it as it was. He just wanted to get back to the wife and have some, was it jam roly-poly? A dessert that was his favourite. And all of a sudden, everybody knew Harry Redknapp. So he started getting adverts and all kinds of offers to host programmes, the lot. So he was one of the real successes of It's a Celebrity, where sometimes people go in and they make one comment, and before you know it, their career's over. But everybody loved him. The papers then set up a sting where they got a guy to approach him to endorse a charity. And this charity, I think it was called Tea. It was a fake thing entirely. A fake thing entirely. And he agreed to do it for a fee. So he would endorse this charity on his Instagram account for a fee. Now, I think if it's for charity, you're on dicey ground if you weren't paying for it. But that was the nature of the sting. The papers had decided he was tall poppy enough to be taken down. And then, of course, it was all over the papers that he was taking a backhander from charities. Exactly, Anthony. The press just want to build them up so they can destroy them. Because it's fodder for the paper. Somehow he's managed to ride it through, and he still has these TV programmes and stuff. But I think things like that are not helpful to charities either. And I know they can't endorse every single charity, but asking for money from a charity is a bit much, isn't it? Because it's not full disclosure. On Instagram, if you are paid for something, you are supposed to make it clear that it is an advert. And I think the same needs to hold true if it's a charity. Just because you're saying you could donate to this charity, if you've been paid to say that, that should be clear. And of course, in this case, it wasn't. But he got away with it. But yeah, that's what the press do. Kim thinks the press have lost their way. Certainly in the States, it's all about clicks or ratings. Well, I've noticed here, you know, there's a lot of stuff on a website belonging to a paper that would never make it into print. And I think it's because they have ads on their sites and they need clickbait to pay for it. Because otherwise, let's be honest, do you guys buy a paper? I can't remember the last time I bought a paper. Tell you what, it's not within the last 12 months. I did notice, though, I don't know if you noticed, Mike, when we were at Alverston, they would deliver papers outside people's doors.
Mm.
I, at Alverston, honest to God, hand on heart, did not see one black person. Not one.
Just looking.
I think it's aimed at an age and a demographic that doesn't include it. And without exception, the morning paper that was left outside people's doors was the Daily Mail. And I'm thinking, oh, toilet paper delivery then. No, I just think as I was looking around, it's very, very white. Because yeah. why would a person of colour want to go there if they're going to be the odd one out?
True.
It is, isn't it? It's that demographic. There's no children either, which I must admit I love. Don't like kids meandering around.
Yeah, but that's deliberate.
That's deliberate.
That's their policy.
Yeah. I didn't twig, though, did I?
There's no dogs either.
No, and I need to talk to them about that.
No dogs.
You see, you're our daughter. Whether you've got four legs or two should be irrelevant. It's prejudice, that. Tony says he's colourblind. Everyone's the same unless they're a-holes. That's true. I judge the person you are, not what you look like or anything else either. Do you remember that lady at church? I mean, there's people who go to church and they literally do still put on their Sunday best. And I mean literally like the best suit they've got and a hat, you know, which is not seen here at all. And there's one lady there and let's say she's the opposite of that. And then she caught us one day and she was saying she was starting up a club where people could just pop in for a drink and to say hello, because some people don't see people from one day's end to the next. So this thing was on, I think it was 3 days a week, and it was free. You know, you could make a donation if you wanted, but she needed the kind of tea and coffee and a few games was all she was after. And I thought, how wonderfully generous. So if you think by coming to church, by wearing your Sunday finery, and then the second you leave church, you're going to be critical of somebody. I'm not going to treat you well just because you're dressed well. I'm going to treat you well based on what you do. And this lady, you know, torn coat, ripped jeans, did it matter? She was doing a wonderful thing. So I'm with Tony. Doesn't matter. Really don't care one way or the other. And the things that we've seen. But yeah, just judge people on what they do. Not even what they say, because what they say might well be not what they do. Kim hardly ever gets international news and the BBC World does a poor job. Oh, the BBC, honestly. There was a thing on there the other day and I thought, how did this pass editorial control? It was an article and it was quite long. It must have been, I mean, I'll give you an idea that the Harry and Meghan response from the palace was three paragraphs. This other thing was about 27 paragraphs. And it was saying people are sick of working from home. It's affecting their mental health adversely. Blah, 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 blah. I thought, good grief, this is going on. And then it said, based on a survey conducted by Something Partners. I thought, who are Something Partners? Oh, guess what? They own half of Canary Wharf. And there's only 6,000 people in Canary Wharf at the moment. And, you know, there's 100,000 office spaces in there. And if people don't come in, then we're not getting paid. How is that a good idea to publish when it's come from a source with a vested interest? And they never mentioned that. And I thought, you know, if I hadn't looked it up, that might sound valid. I've not heard of one person who is saying to me, I'm sick of working from home. I want to go back to work. Not one.
Oh, I have.
Oh, go on. Why?
I'm missing my friends.
That's what Zoom's for. If we weren't in lockdown, we wouldn't be talking with our friends right now. So that's just a matter of how you treat your friends. Who's got friends at work anyway?
I was
anyway?
Just going to say it myself.
That's another point. Who?
Yeah. Roy Keane said that. I haven't signed for Manchester United to make friends. I've signed for Manchester United to win trophies.
Good
and
point.
Football matches.
Good point, Roysters. Oh, we're still punting like a train and now we're sat on Jerry. She'll be fine. She's just excitable. Right, you're going to tell your story?
Yes.
Which story was this? Well, you were telling it.
I was telling it. I'll tell it.
Right.
Right.
I'll leave you to tell it.
Where are you going?
No, she's staying here.
It was about chicken. That was it, yeah. This morning I was doing an Excel logic functions course and I was using an example where I've got a list of meals and if somebody wanted chicken or they wanted salad or they wanted soup, that is built into my demo. So I was just talking away and it's a bit like when the A lady, when you mention the A lady and the A lady pipes up, or you mention Siri and Siri pipes up. Well, in this case, I just happened to mention the word chicken and somebody's eyes looked up at me. And I said chicken about half a dozen times and little doggy eyes looked up at me. So I had to pass chicken over in the end. So I then decided to post on Workplace this afternoon. So I posted a picture of chicken along with, oh, she's now looking at chicken. Yes, you heard me, didn't you? You heard me say chicken. So I posted a picture of chicken and I said something along the lines of I'm happened to mention the word chicken in a training course. Oi, stop it. Stop it. Happened to mention the word chicken in a training course and she got overexcited.
I heard you get into trouble.
Yes, you did get into trouble.
Come on, behave.
So that was my story, my chicken story. There you go. Chicken. What was my other story?
I don't know.
No, I forgot my other story.
No,
that was the chicken story. I'm sure there was another story. I can't remember.
Settle down. Be good.
I can't remember what my other story was.
If you're not good, I'll take chicken away. That's what I'll do. Feed me.
Lola, will you settle down?
Oh, is Bill Gates at it again? He is another one who should keep his opinion to himself. Keep his opinion to himself.
I'm going through the script here for the video.
What script? For what video?
One of the videos that I need to do for the Catanian conference.
I say, good grief, you want that in bigger text? It looks like the small print at the bottom. An agreement. Go on, what does it say?
Well, I've written the script and I put it out to the rest of the guys to give me some feedback. And I deliberately, although we're using Zoom webinar, I deliberately use the word meeting because most brothers wouldn't know what a webinar was.
No, and it frightens them.
Exactly. So I'm going back to the guy who's put webinar all the way through where I put meeting and then saying why.
But it isn't a webinar.
No, we're just using webinar technology.
No, no. Zoom actually has a webinar configuration that costs about 20 grand a year.
Yeah, and that's what we're using.
Oh, I thought you were using the other one.
No.
But you still wouldn't say it's a webinar.
Exactly.
Because it freaks them out. Plus the fact that they go to meetings, and the meetings one, which is the affordable one, is the one that they're used to.
Mm.
Oh, dear, dear me. So Tracy says... didn't see a single black person in the streets, only now it's more usual. I really don't think it should make a difference. Like I said, when I was at school, there was all colours and races. I don't really know why, looking back now, because that first school was in an area of Manchester called Whalley Range, which does, well, after we'd left, Mum and Dad could see the way it was going. That's why we moved. But after we left, Whalley Range had a terrible name. And yet, can't really work out why, given where it is. It's between Stretford and the town centre, so it's just a little bit outside the town centre. But they did build a lot of council houses, and it did have a drug problem. And then as time went on, it also became the red light district. So all of that didn't help. But we moved. But that school was great because there was no prejudice. Everyone was just, you know, you're just who you were. You were just a name. When I moved, we moved to this stupid little village. Honestly, it was like the village of the damned or the Midwich cuckoos. And looking back now, if you look at the difference in the photos, so I've got a photo from when I was 9 and 10 at this school. And I've got a photo of, I don't think we did them every year at my first school, but we did for our first communion. When you look at that, we've got, I think next to me was my best friend and she was black. On the other side of me, I had another friend who was Polish. She stood next to her sister, who you would now say had learning difficulties. She was actually mute. She never spoke. I think she was 2 years older than my friend. But she was welcomed into our class, even though she didn't speak, to do her communion. And then on the other side, there was my Spanish friend. And you look at that photo and it's like the United Colours of Benetton. But we were all happy. Even the one who couldn't speak was made welcome. The children didn't like, oh, she doesn't speak. There was none of that. But I look at this picture from my second primary school. Oh, whiteness personified again. I don't think there was anybody in the entire village that was black. And that was 1977. That's shocking, isn't it? That is terribly, terribly shocking. At least, I would say it's better now, but I don't know. Is it? Is it better now? I honestly don't know. Yes, she's got chicken. In fact, she's actually got her head right next to my helmet drawers. So I don't know what kind of mischief she's up to. She's got chicken on one hand. She sat on a towel of mine that I put across her paws. And Jerry's next to her. Jerry's her new toy. But she's now not saying a word. You trying to outwit Father? Yes, he's disappeared, hasn't he? And she's had a dentistic, so she should be fine because she's had a dentistic. I was convinced today would be the day. Let me check.
Can I sort dinner?
Yeah, fine. Let me check my RSS feeds. No, today is not the day. Because it's a week till we thought we might have an Apple event. But it would appear that the Apple event that we figured would be the 16th is not the 16th. It's going to be the 23rd, which means it wouldn't be advertised until next week. So a week from now, we need to have our eyes on that. But you know, that could be really good because a week from now, this week is week 51. A week from now, we will be celebrating 1 year of Marooned. Marooned is 1 year old a week from today. That's amazing, isn't it? When it started, Tony might not know this, when it started, it was a 5-day series. Monday to Friday of the first week of lockdown, we thought that'd be cool. And 51 weeks on, we're still here. We found stuff to talk about. But yes, nothing about it yet. Plenty of speculation about what will be included, including a new iPad. I'm actually potentially in the market for a new iPad, possibly even if the iPad that comes out is the lower spec thing, because Mike's mum wants one. So we're waiting with bated breath to see what's announced. It'll probably be the iPad Pro though, and she's not particularly worried about that. She just wants an iPad. But we're going to have to wait because there could be the iPad Mini. They're talking about doing an iPad Mini Pro. And the Pro iPad. So I need to see that. Oh, do you know, the iMac that I got just before Christmas, I didn't treat that as like it's a new toy because it looks exactly the same. I treated that as the one I've got will drive me mad if I don't do something about it. But somehow an iPad seems quite exciting now because it's been 3 years since the last one. But of course, it's going to depend on what's actually in it. And at the moment, not much. I actually worked with my feet up today in bed for a bit. Mike was doing a course and I couldn't listen to it again. Oh, it was the Nucleus one. It'd drive a saint to drink. So the iPad I selected to go with me was my iPad Pro, not the 11-inch, the 10.5-inch. I just love that one. It just feels right. What I will say is, though, that the battery's not really up to much now. But then it won't be. I think it's 4 years old. But do you know, I think with a new battery, it could be like a new machine. I shall have to contemplate that, whether it's worth the investment or whether I should just get a new iPad. What is everybody else thinking about in terms of what they'd like to see? Who is interested in the tag thing? Will they ever get round to new iMacs? I think they will. I think they will get round to the 21.5-inch replacement. Now, that could be 21.5 inches, or it could be a 24-inch iMac. I can't see yet they'll do the 27. Not yet. Having said that, I don't know if you've read about it, but the iMac Pro, which was the space grey one, that's gone. They didn't exactly pull it. They just said, while stocks last, and it sold out in like hours. So that one's gone. Hello, Sarah. Good to see you. How did the teaching go? Was everybody all supple and in good form? Me, yoga. Probably not. Oh, gosh, I did find that book. Oh, I did. I said to you, my mum had a yoga book and I just distinctly remember this yoga book and I couldn't remember who it was. But I did find the front cover. So let me find it. You'll probably say you've never seen it before. But I did. There it is. Right. Images, images, images. It's the front cover of the book. Ah, is it that one? That one's a bit tiny, I think. But it was that book. I just need a better picture of it. Can you not pick a bigger image? Gosh, there's lots of book covers on there. But I actually went to the Googles. Google.com. Right, let's try that. Yoga book. Right. Images is the results. Come on, Ad. There was a definite big image of it. Am I seeing that at all now? There it is. Got it. Right. Now put that down there, get that up into cloud, and then see if you've seen it. I love the fact that on the cover, well, I'll get this up there and then I'll tell you what's on the cover. I'll have a look at that. Did I ever explain the clips on my drawers? Not yet, Tracy. Had a vision in my head then of different drawers. Oh. Right, let me catch up. Oh, Sarah had a great class, did some fun stuff. Like to make my classes fun and not serious. No pretzels here, that's good to know. Yes, Lola, chicken. You sit on chicken. Right, okay, that was the cover of my mum's yoga book. And I reckon it's still going to be in the house somewhere. What's funny about it is when you look at the bottom of it, it actually says on it, it's got a totally different cover when you click through, so you need to look at that image there. But it says on the front of it, 50p, which is 50 pence. And 50 pence would have been the price of the book, obviously. But just in front of the 50 pence, it also says 10/-. That is old money, as we call it in the UK, pre-decimalisation. And the 10 means 10 shillings, which is the same as 50 pence. There were 20 shillings to the pound. So it's 10 shillings. That's unbelievable. I know. But you know, that was probably quite a lot for a book back then. I think it was 1972, something like that. Hence it having the price in both decimal and pre-decimal. But it was quite a big book, and as you can see, it was landscape, and it opened sideways. And there was a TV series at the time, and he did most of the yoga thing. I think that lady with him is possibly his wife, but don't quote me. But you know, when you said yoga, in my head, that was what I saw, because that was my mum's yoga book. I don't actually remember that hers said 10 shillings on it, but you never know. It's still available, isn't it? But it doesn't have that cover on it anymore. I don't think it's going to be 50 pence either. But it was just so funny because that in my head is yoga. But yes, it is available on Amazon, isn't it? Let's have a look at it. £10.99 for the Kindle edition, or £12 for the paperback. And it says 1st of January 1971, which I think was the year we went decimal, which would explain the price on there. Oh, you can look inside. Oh, good grief. I remember the photos. I do remember the photos. Are there any? Yeah, there you go. There's a couple of photos, aren't there? I remember the one. I don't know what that one's called. Hang on. 5. It says 5, slowly and gently straighten up to the upright position. I remember that position. Do you realise this book probably put me off yoga for life? Watching my mum getting into all kind of contortions with it. Do we think we can learn yoga from a book? When you look at the pictures now, it's frightening, isn't it? Posture positions. Yeah, but these aren't the downward dog positions. Where's the downward dog? These are all upright positions, holding one leg and stuff. There you go, Sarah. What do you do with people who can't get into the position of that bloke? He's got one knee bent and his right hand holding his right foot, and then the other hand's in the air like he wants to go to the toilet. What if you got in that position and then promptly fell over? Because I've got a sneaking suspicion that's what would happen to me. Oh, we need to do a live yoga session. This would be hysterical. And we might have to have paramedics on standby. I'll have to dig it out, see if I can find it. I think the pictures were all in black and white, though. But what's fascinating about it is, in terms of it being a book based in, 1971, all of those photos must have been knocked out. That would take a while, wouldn't it? Wow. I'd be fine with you, Sarah, would I? Okay, believe you. Kiva does downward dog every day. So does Lola, that stretching thing. I remember watching Maya do that for the first time. And then I realised that is how a dog kind of wakes up, isn't it? Oh, she's up again. Daddy's making food. I'll give you some of mine, but don't tell him. Anyway, that was a blast from the past from my mother. A yoga book. Don't know why they changed the front cover. Because it's got his name on it really big, and yet it's got a woman, so he isn't even on the cover. And it says this is a view of the Kindle edition from 2013. Still, it must be a classic, or it wouldn't still be available, would it? So, yeah, I did look that up after we spoke about it and found it. Oh, do you know, Kiva and Lola would have a ball together, wouldn't they? An absolute ball. You never know. One day that might happen. One day. Oh, so Mike's headed off downstairs to make some food because we both had meetings back to back. It was ridiculous. They all overlapped each other. So it was like a tag team here. Who started? I think Mike had a meeting after work, but it was actually to do with work, which, is a crime as far as I'm concerned. But he had that meeting, which took... Yeah, then Lola went out for a walk. And then while that was happening, I had a full governing body meeting. While I was still in that meeting, Mike then went into his Excel meeting and then we went into Marooned. So we've not eaten yet. So that's where he's gone, because I think he's a bit hungry. So dinner will be with me shortly. So for the moment, I'm going to say goodnight. Now, tomorrow, we may or may not have news of an Apple event tomorrow. It depends if it's next Tuesday or the following Tuesday. But if it's next Tuesday, it'll be on our birthday. And if it's the following Tuesday, it gives us a week to look forward to it. So we can't lose. We're win-win. I thought it would be earlier rather than later because of Easter. I didn't think Apple would want any new toys to be trying to deliver them on the Thursday or Friday of Easter week. So that was why I thought the 16th. But it's looking more like the 23rd. But fingers crossed, it will happen at some point. So eyes peeled, and we'll check in tomorrow and see what happens. But for the moment, I'm going to say goodnight from me, and I will say goodnight from Mike. And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.